glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8.
And that was Annie Lutchman, and her father is beaming over to my left, knowing that his daughter is reading scripture, introducing these verses that we're going to talk about on today's edition of Mark and Friends. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 29th, 2026. On today's edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to continue our journey through the book of James as our good friend and pastor locally here in the Springfield area, Pastor Mark Johnson, helps us look at one of the Bible's greatest promises regarding wisdom, the book of James, which tells us that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God, as he gives generously, and he will do that. That's a great prayer for us to have each and every day as we ask him to order our steps, to help being led by the Spirit, looking for those divine appointments. And so this book of James, we're going to continue on Fridays looking at, in this world filled with opinions, noises, and confusion, how wonderful to know that God desires to guide his children, to guide you and me on our faith journey. So let's listen together and learn what true wisdom looks like. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for joining us again on this Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
It's great to be here, Mark.
So last week and the week before, we kind of settled into the beginning of James, who James was, a brother of Jesus, who Jesus is as our Lord and Savior. In fact, listening friend, had you been here about 20 minutes ago, we had one of the most delightful, encouraging, God-honoring conversations as we had kind of a little small group session talking about many facets of the Bible, the importance of God's Word. But most of all, as much as we like doctrine and we like what the Bible says, we need to know who it points to. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we all are unified in that understanding that Jesus came into this world. He was the Redeemer. He was the Savior. God sent him so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And that's first and foremost the most important thing to know, is Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And this book of James, very practical, filled with wisdom, guides and leads us into understanding how to walk faithfully following Jesus. But we never want to have information or ideas or methods or means to trump the importance that Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
You know, I love so much of the Bible. When a person is just beginning to read the Bible, many, many times I'll point him to this book. James is talking to us about faith, especially in this first chapter, faith as we face trials. And trials are this testing of our life. So a trial has to do with, how do I live in the kingdom of God? So James is teaching us how to live in the kingdom of God, how we function. So he says to us, if any of you lack wisdom, well, he could just say, hey, folks, listen up. You all lack wisdom.
Yeah.
There's some place, you know, you may be really wise in one area, you may be not so wise in another. So if any of you lack wisdom, applies to all of us, ask it of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So this is one of the ways the kingdom of God functions. This is the one of the way it becomes practical in every person's life who will obey it. I look at the situations of my life, and I want to live in those situations as a person who is applying the rules of the kingdom of God, not the rules of this world, not the rules of the culture I grew up in, the culture of my family. I'll have people say to me from time, well, our family is just this way. Well, your family needs to repent. Your family needs to turn. We're supposed to not be like our family. We're supposed to be like Christ. So we turn to this and we say, what do I do when I'm facing some situation? do I really have wisdom? Maybe I don't have wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of godly knowledge, of kingdom of God knowledge. So I ask for it. I seek for it. God, I'm raising this kid. How do I do this? She's being rebellious right now. How do I deal with this? Do I ignore it? Do I speak to it? Do I discipline it? What do we do? Are there people in our life I need to get out of her life? What do I do? Well, we need the wisdom of God to know that. God, I'm married. How do I treat my wife? I'm a little frustrated right now. I came home. It's been a tough day at work. How am I going to treat her tonight when I get home? I need the wisdom of God to show me and to guide me. And so we're called in this to, in faith, ask God to give us direction.
And I love this part, given to all without finding fault, because God could find fault in all of us. None of us measure up. None of us are without sin or heartache or failure in our lives. But he desires to give it to all of us that ask. But he's not on a fault-finding mission to shame us into it, saying, hey, you dummy, of course you should come to me. He's like, I want to give you wisdom and insight to follow me.
You know, we walk through life and we have a tendency to think, I can handle this. Mm-hmm. And for the Christian, that should be turned on its head. And we should really approach life with this thought of, without God's help, I can't handle this. I won't do it right. I'll get this wrong. So I want to make sure I am applying God's word rightly, purely, truly. And part of that comes with me responding to God and saying, God, guide me in this issue. Guide me in these things. So in the ongoing trials of our life, we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing at securing in us the rules of the kingdom? So how am I doing with securing my temper? How am I doing with securing my lusts? How am I doing with securing my mouth? In every area, how am I getting them submitted to the kingdom? How am I securing my feelings? Do I trust my feelings? Every now and then you have somebody say, I'm just going on my feelings. Well, your feelings are big fat liars. they tell you all sorts of things.
You're in trouble.
They're going to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
So have I secured that? Am I going down God's direction? In your trials of life, how are you doing with walking faithfully through what you're now seeing as a trial? How are you being faithful in that?
And we talked a lot about trials last week, so that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But if you missed portions of last week, go back and listen to it, because we talked about the many trials we face, the things that go on in our lives, and how we can turn to God and find great wisdom and insight and comfort and compassion. And I'm just thinking, Bernie, you're a wise guy. You're a wise man. I should say wise guy.
A wise guy, eh?
Yeah. You've written a number of books. You love this book of James,
yes.
And you draw insight from it and godly wisdom. And in light of some of the things we talked about, Pastor Mark, I'm just thinking of those fruits of the Spirit. That's where I need wisdom. Like, Lord, how do I show love in all these circumstances? Love, joy, peace, patience. The patience is a big one for me. But, you know, we can seek God and find that. So, Bernie, have you found that true of your life as you walked with the Lord many years, how you seek after him for that wisdom?
Yes, sir. Before I get to that, Pastor Mark won't remember this. But about 12, 14 years ago, I was doing my TV show recording up in Decatur, and I was going through the book of James, and I mentioned that to him. And he said, you know what the theme of James is? Behave yourself.
Yeah.
He told me that 14 yeah. years ago. And on the way there, I was listening to the book of James, and it hit me. This is the extension of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you listen to it at one sitting, and Max McLean was reading it, and he had a British accent, so it was biblical.
There you go.
But what I found in my own life is I could accumulate all this wisdom. I can go to conferences. I can feed on doctrine. But if I don't have what Solomon prayed for, being, B-I-Y-N, being, which is discernment and how to use that wisdom, well, I'm just full of myself.
Yeah.
So I have to know how to handle these situations that Pastor Mark just described here, how to handle situations like after work when you go home and you're all grumpy and everything. And how to handle people at work, how to live in grace at all times, even in the tough situations. And that's where all that biblical training and wisdom and discernment will actually come into play. And I found it as I get older, as I get closer to my 70s, it's becoming a little easier. Staying in the Word is where it all counts.
You know, wisdom will always have a couple of components to it. True Kingdom of God wisdom.
Yeah.
One, it will be biblical. You can't go against the Bible
right.
and it be wise. You may think it's wise, you're getting by with something, but it's undermining. It's going to be destructive. And two, it will be of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It'll have the Spirit. There'll be a spirit of love. There'll be a spirit of peace. There'll be a spirit of kindness involved in it. It's not harsh. It's not mean-spirited. It's not unkind. It is loving. It's got the fruit of love all the way through it. Who's going to read James 3 for us?
I'm going to.
All right. Go right ahead. Chrissy, please.
James 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It was James 3:17 and 18.
So here's the parentheses right here. What is godly wisdom? What is wisdom that comes from heaven? Well, it's pure.
Hmm.
It's peace-loving.
So basically, any time it's not peace-loving, where you've
stepped out. You're missing it.
Yep,
if you're not considerate, if you're not submissive, it's not wisdom from above. It's full of mercy towards others, not judgmental and harsh. It's got good fruit in it. It's impartial and sincere. And peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So we see the fruit of that wisdom in our relationships. We see the fruit of that wisdom in the places that we direct and order. There's righteousness in it.
That impartial and sincere, so the impartial being not swayed by like rich people are in the session or showing favoritism, is that what that impartial means?
I would say, yeah. When you think about impartial, you're thinking about what is right, not what is the position of some person.
Mm-hmm.
This is really hard. It's really hard when your child has done something wrong and they're coming under some discipline, maybe at school or someplace else, to be impartial.
Mm.
You know, it's hard to be impartial when you're watching a basketball game and your kid's sitting on the bench and you think they're as good as anybody on the floor. So I always tell parents, if you got your child playing basketball or whatever and you think they're good, take 25% off and now you're about there. You got to take the love factor out of it. So yeah, impartial is can I look at this impartially? If I sit here today and my spouse is doing something and I disagree with her and I know I'm going to pay a price for this on the car ride home. Am I still going to be impartially righteous, or am I going to cave to my own desires to have a peaceful evening? Sometimes the man of God has to be, the woman of God has to be clear. Mm-hmm. What is true is true. What is untrue, no matter if it's my child or my spouse or whoever it is. I've got to be impartial.
And I think how oftentimes we give ourselves the slack. Well, I had a reason to go through that yellow, red light or whatever it is. But then we're judgmental for somebody else that did maybe the same thing. So, yeah, that being impartial is hard oftentimes.
It's because you're dealing with yourself. You're dealing with your feelings. Yep.
Mm.
So there you go.
That's hypocrisy then, because it's okay for you. But
yes, absolutely.
Not for them.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, a lady brought her son into my office. The boy, he had some drug issues. He was skipping school all the time. He wasn't doing his homework. I didn't know the boy. This was the first time I met him. He's a teenage kid. And the single mom drags him in to talk to me. He doesn't want to be there. And so I'm trying to connect with him a little bit. And so I said to him, what are your goals? What do you want to do? And he named a college, a major university. And he said, when I get out of high school, I want to go to that university. And I said to him, so you think that the pathway you're on right now, skipping school, flunking classes, using drugs, that you're going to get accepted into that university, that this is leading you to that goal. This kid jumped up, started cussing at me, just cussing at me. And he said, "You can't talk to me like that. Nobody can talk to me like that." And I'm like, "How am I talking to you? You're telling me I can't have my dreams." "No, I'm telling you that you're on a path away from your dreams." See, wisdom is reasonable. We live in a day today where the world isn't reasonable. They don't reason correctly. They're confused. Confusion is the fruit of the enemy. Order is the fruit of the kingdom of God. Whether that's in a church, if a church gets out of order, somebody's lost wisdom. Maybe a lot of people have. If a home gets out of order and it's disruptive and it's harsh and painful, somebody's not leading correctly. And what we have is a society today that they've thrown out all the boundaries of the kingdom, and they say things that you listen to it and you go, "What are you talking about?" So you talk about, you know, some of these women that get on, and you know, I heard one news commentator making this statement that women in Iran have more civil rights and freedom than they do in the United States of America. And you're just like, "Are you dumb as a brick?" You know, what have you looked at what's happening in Iran today? Yeah. What happens to women in Iran today? Have you noticed? Go there for a day and just check it out. But she sincerely argues that point,
right,
that America is so flawed. Well, that's not reasonable at all. We may have our issues. America may have our flaws. You can't compare us to Iran with how women are treated.
Right.
You can't do that. That's just insane. Well, the enemy confuses our mind. He confuses us. He had that kid confused. He can do whatever he wants to. He can go to this university. He's not going to get it. They're going to take one look at his transcripts. He's done. He's out. He's not coming. So teaching our children and teaching ourselves in every situation to be reasonable, to reason through this stuff. Why am I really frustrated on the way home? I'm not frustrated with my wife. She doesn't deserve me to come in the door and be biting and angry and frustrated. I'm frustrated because I had a hard day at work. Okay, God, I'm going to sit out here in the garage for a minute, out here in the park driveway for a minute, and I'm going to calm down. I'm going to ask for your presence to be upon me. I'm going to ask that you help me not to treat my wife out of the frustration I have. I'm going to ask for your strength. So we learn to bring ourselves under control by getting the wisdom of God in our life. How should I be acting? What should I be doing?
That's great.
We only have a couple minutes, and I wanted to have you address this man or woman, for that matter, that is double-minded, unstable in all he does. So who might be that person that's double-minded, that's not taking to heart God's wisdom?
Well, I think the person who's double-minded is the person who says they're a Christian, but lives by the value of the world and acts in the values of the world and responds in the ways of the world. And so they're double-minded in the way they approach life. And I'll tell you, that's what really disrupts a home. If you get one of the parents who's double-minded, the kids, they can't say it in those words, but they know it. Mom's not the same way at church as she is at home. Dad's not the same way at home as he is at other places. They're acting out of different values. That person is not going to find wisdom, and that person's going to find disruption in their life.
Is that why the prior verse says it's like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind? They're one way one time or
whatever's
flipping.
Going on.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on, that's the way they're responding. Whoever's there, who's ever influential, or, you know, that's going to make a difference. Yeah. You know, wisdom wins on the weight of truth. It wins on the weight of reason, not emotion. How does wisdom work with the child? Well, we have to teach them how to become wise. They're walking, and you know, I've got five of my grandkids living with us right now as they're getting ready to go on a mission, on a mission field. And the young ones, there's no reasoning with them. You know, if they're crying, they're crying. You say, what's wrong? They'll just cry louder. You've got to teach them to reason. You've got to teach them to have prudence, to look in the future and say, where is this taking me? That young man sitting in my office, he had no prudence. He had no ability to say, these three things aren't taking me where I want to go. And it insults him to tell him that. It affects him to tell him that. And so we have to look and say, is this biblical? Is it spirit-led? Is it reasonable for me to think this way? And sometimes we need other people to talk to us and help us discover that.
When you gave that example of that high schooler, I thought he was going to pivot and see your wisdom in that and say, you know what, I've never looked at it that way. I need to apply myself to studying, to working hard. And that's why I thought it was going to be a wonderful turnaround, but it was the opposite.
No, he stormed out of my office and left his mom sitting there crying is what happened. Yeah, and who did he hurt at the end of that day? So she's apologizing to me, and I'm like, you don't have to apologize to me. He didn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Somebody acting that way is not... He's trying to attack you and trying to hurt your feelings, but the Christian doesn't get hurt that way. We just see the pain that's going on in this kid's life. He had a lot of reasons to be where he was, but he wasn't willing to, at that point in time in life, he was not willing to dig his way out of it.
Yeah. Oh, listening friend, what a wonderful reminder today that God has not left us on our own to figure things out, but we can seek him for wisdom. And he desires to give us wisdom, to guide us, to lead us, to encourage us day to day, to walk faithfully, to be his representative, to be that faithful disciple of Jesus. So he invites us to come and ask and seek and trust him for wisdom. And may we be the people who continually look to him for guidance, direction, and understanding. And if you want to listen to this program again, or you missed a portion, or want to send it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org, and they can click on the Mark and Friends tab and listen anytime. Have a blessed day, a blessed weekend. Keep drawing near to God, and read the book of James, like Marcus shared before. It's 5 chapters, so you can read it Monday through Friday. Pray it up on Saturday and apply it on Sunday. All right, that's a recommendation. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.